allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item on the agenda tonight is we have an audit committee meeting. The auditor is 10 minutes late, so we're going to start the regular meeting. When she gets here, we're going to stop and go through our audit committee meeting, go back into that, and then we'll come in. And that's open. The audit committee meeting is open, right?
Yes.
So, we'll take questions and comments regarding tonight's agenda only, and we will address and discuss any questions or comments you might have on the third spot, result of a resignation, at the end. So hold any of those to the end, and we'll talk about that after the regular meeting before exec. Obviously, it's not on the agenda. You guys know. Any questions or comments on tonight's agenda? Okay. Motion to adopt the regular minutes of the minutes of the regular meeting on May 3rd, 2017. Motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the following resignations.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following employees for a leave of absence, which is in compliance with the terms and conditions of the Center Ridge's FMLA policy.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education rescinds the following action previously adopted on April 5th, 2017.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
What was this? Rescission result?
Just the switch of the school nurse.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education appoints the following individuals as substitutes for the 2016-2017 school year as follows.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
District recently advertised for candidates to fill various teaching and support staff vacancies for 2016-2017. Candidates were interviewed by committees, building principals, and both superintendent. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education appoints the following individuals for the 2016-2017 school year as follows.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Just so I'm clear, Raina, all of these individuals that are doing MYP curriculum writing, we have not to exceed. Does this come from PD, or how does it, or is this general?
You mean in terms of the budget?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's actually, as part of curriculum services, a curriculum writing line specific for curriculum writing, K-12.
So like when we say MYP curriculum writing, this is writing curriculum that we have budgeted for as part of our.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Same for low curriculum writing, summer guides, all this.
Yeah, so like at the beginning of each year, I surveyed buildings, what are the needs, and then kind of create a brief outline for, you know, prior to the school year. So I have an idea of what areas specifically will require curriculum writing for that school year. Mm-hmm. And then based on we recommend them.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the results of the May 16th, 2017 Board of Education budget vote and election and Proposition Number 1, 2017-2018 district budget in the amount of $42,127,133, approved 6/51 to 3/35. Daniel Lynch elected to the Board of Education, term to run July 1, 2017 through June 30, 2020. Joshua P. Foster elected to the Board of Education, term to run July 1, 2017 through June 30, 2020.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. Congratulations, Danielle.
Thank you, James. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the following contracts in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contracts as well as at the established cost contained in said contracts and authorize the President to sign said contracts.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves the stipulation of settlement and release stipulation with Milcon Construction Corporation and hereby authorizes the President of the Board of Education to execute said stipulation on behalf of the Board.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. So this was a settlement that we had with our roofing contractor resulting from delays. So the roof was supposed to be done on August 26th, and it took them a number of months after that. We saw them working, and we had liquidated damages provisions and other in the contract resulting from their delay. We pressed and we worked through with them. Ultimately, we were able to negotiate a $50,000 credit for the work for the you know to us as a result of the delay. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the following construction program change order.
Motion.
Motion.
Second. Second. So this change order reflects the reduction in pay for the prior settlement agreement. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education accepts the following submitted proposals for the 2017-2018 school year.
Motion.
Second.
Ricardo, talk to us a little bit about how you look at these proposals, how you evaluate what determines that these are the proper ones to accept.
Sure, the evaluation is based on a three-fold thing, which is one, the reputation of the company that we utilize, the fee schedule that's associated with the company, and our previous relationship with the company. So the five organizations that you see here, we do have a long-standing relationship that's been positive. The fee schedule is in line with what is current accepted fee schedules across the island.
Do we look at we're just going to finish and then we'll pop back to the audit and give us 2 minutes. Do we look at, you know, service, assuming services are apples to apples, can we reduce? Can we do better? How do we do that?
We, once again, it's based on the fee schedule. So we get a cost associated with every service that each organization or each company provides the district. So in terms of apples to apples, one of the major companies we utilize is one of the lowest ones on the island. But it's one of the best in terms of in terms of competency and in terms of their effectiveness. And not only for the services that they provide, but in terms of the bookkeeping that they've kept as well. In the past, we've utilized other companies, and unfortunately, we've had delays with their bookkeeping. We've had errors where it forced us to discontinue our practice with them, or discontinue the relationship that we had with them at the time.
Okay. So when I look at Complete Rehab, it's on here, and I look at, you know, they're charged $41 per half hour compared to another competitor that would have been more than double that to another that's $2 less per half an hour. That's kind of your analysis. Layer on top of that, the...
Yes, it's based on that, but there's other components as well, such as evaluations. There are consultant fees as well, so you have to look at the totality of their fee schedule to determine whether or not the savings will be worth it. In terms of what you just quoted is an individual session that is provided by the company for a student that the company is servicing on a one-to-one basis. But there are other components that are associated to the fee schedule that when you look at all of the items that are itemized within their fee schedule, you have to look at it from that comparison, Josh.
Okay. So, like, for example, I'm looking here, top grade, there's no...
That's a tutoring schedule. That's a tutoring company. Top grade provides...
So it's an hourly tutoring service.
It's a completely different related service.
Okay.
That's an educational company that provides tutoring to students that are home due to medical reasons.
Well, we pay for that, right?
We did.
So what I'm saying is, as I look at this chart, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but as I look at this chart, there's no dollar amount for top grade at all.
There's $1 amount, which is the amount that is paid by the district to top grade for providing tutoring services to students. When a student is out for a medical reason or for another, such as a behavior infraction, we're obligated by law to provide tutoring based on the age of the student and the grade level of the student. For elementary students, we're obligated by law to provide 1 hour of tutoring a day. At the secondary complex, we're obligated to provide 2 hours of instruction a day.
Okay, so here we're accepting the proposals. We're not entering into contracts with them.
Yes.
Yeah. So effectively, are you going to go, how do we go through and have you say, well, listen, we've looked at top grade and determined that their $40 an hour for K through 6 special ed tutoring is a better value than their biggest competitor?
I evaluated all of the contracts.
So these, based on that evaluation?
Based on that evaluation, this is my
recommendation. These five are the recommendations,
yes,
based upon. So are there more savings that you think we can have here, or do you think that based on all the competitors, we've maximized?
I think we have maximized. Once again, like I said, there are other competitors that do charge more than...
Are there those that charge less that provide the same services?
Not the same effectiveness, right?
With the bus company, we get one and we said, listen, you have to really sharpen the pencil so that we can do other things. Is there any more, in your view, savings to be had here?
Not that
based on what you're
announcing. No.
And these are subject to the same three bid requirements, all these, that every other bid when we go out is subject to? These types of services where we have to go out publicly and have bids submitted?
They're professional services, which is different than a bid. It's a request for proposals. And it's based upon the profession, services of the profession. So it's not the lowest.
So is there an ability to negotiate these better after they've submitted where we didn't have that, for example, with the capital?
Yes, sometimes we do.
Okay.
If the we look at when we prepare the contracts, look at the cost from the previous year and look at the cost of what they're proposing, and a lot of times we negotiate.
So we should try. I mean, we can, you know, before we enter into contracts, just have an understanding of, can we do better with these, you know,
we always try to do that.
We do.
But I'm saying, before we sign them, before they're in front of us with a fee schedule.
We can definitely do
that. Yeah. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries. Do we do motion? Mm-hmm. Motion carries unanimous.
Recommended action upon recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, Board of Education approves the budget transfers.
Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
The Board of Education has approved an independent claims auditor to review bills and authorize the processing of payment during the period between Board of Education meetings. Recommended action that upon recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education accepts the report by the independent claims auditor for the month of April 2017 and authorizes payment of the monthly bills listed on warrants for the month of April 2017 as audited by the independent claims auditor as follows.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. No. So, motion to adopt item 17, which is item 18, which is tax anticipation notes authorization. Motion.
Motion.
Second. So, this is our ability to go out and borrow for purposes of effectively a bridge until the tax levy money comes in. And is the interest rate not set yet until we draw down the borrowing? Is that the way it works?
The interest rate is actually from the borrowing.
It's set when we do the borrowing.
Yes.
Okay. Do we have any sense of where it will be this year compared to last year?
Probably
comparable,
but I don't know.
Okay. Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the recommendations of the Committee on Special Education and Committee on Preschool Education for the months of March and April for 2016-2017 school year.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the disposition of records.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the first reading of the following policy.
Motion.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Our policy is on the website if anybody would like to see it. So we're going to jump back now to our audit committee meeting.
Thank you. I apologize that I'm late. I'm just coming from another meeting.
No, okay.
So this is the official planning meeting with respect to the external audit for the year ending June 30, 2017. And I prepared a quick document to look at with the Board of Education, going through what the engagement objectives are and some of the responsibilities of both the auditor and the school district. So starting off on page one, we're going to express an opinion on the basic financial statements, same as last year. And just as a reminder, it's the large document. It has the two sets of financial statements, accrual basis and modified accrual basis. We're also going to render a report on the internal controls over financial reporting and compliance with laws and regulations and provisions of the contracts or grants. This is in accordance with generally accepted government auditing standards. It's also known as the Yellow Book Audit. We're going to give an opinion on the extra classroom activity funds, and just as a reminder again, they're not really under the confines of the business office, but the State Education Department wants us to audit them since they are the children's extra classroom activity funds. The district is subject to a federal single audit since their expenditures are estimated to be more than $750,000. If they're less than $750,000, they will not be subject to. And there's uniform guidance, which is really going to tell us how we conduct that audit. It's a little bit different than the previous years when just the Single Audit Act was in place. Okay. We give a report on compliance with requirements applicable to each major federal program and on the district's internal controls over compliance in accordance with the Single Audit Act and OMB Uniform Audit Guidance. At the top of page two, we have a number of standards that we need to follow. You could see them in the first bullet, generally accepted auditing standards, generally accepted government auditing standards, the Federal Single Audit Act, and the Uniform Grant Guidance. I am responsible for communicating to the audit committee, Board of Education, if I find anything significant to the external audit. So I might have talked to the board about this in the past, I'm sure I have. There are different levels of internal control structure findings. Some are procedural. Some are significant in that an internal control is either not in place or it's not operating properly, and it could lead to fraud or defalcation or financial misreporting. The school district has never had any items of that nature in their previous audits, but just so that everyone's aware, if I find something during the conduct of my audit, I'm required to communicate that to you in writing. And I think I've explained to the board in the past that if I do find something significant, I feel it's my responsibility to reach out to the board president as it's taking place, rather than wait till the audit is concluded. And I've never had that situation here either. I will give you three reports at the conclusion of the audit process, an audit report on the financial statements, one on the extra classroom activity funds, and then the federal single audit. I will also give you two communication pieces, one for sure. The first one is a communication in accordance with the governance standards, so if there are any difficulties in performing the audit, if the audit wasn't in accordance with the standards that were set forth, that would be communicated to you. Any proposed adjusting journal entries are at the tail end of that document, and you might remember the business office, Carol, does a very good job. I don't know if there were any journal entries last year. There was no management letter, but I have down here the other communication that I would give to you if we thought it was deemed necessary would be a management letter about internal control procedural concerns. C, So our audit is different than what your internal claims auditor performs and the audit the internal auditor performs, as is to give reasonable assurance about whether or not the financial statements are free of material misstatement, whether they're caused by fraud or error. We're not required, or our audit's not designed to detect immaterial errors of fraud, and we might have talked about petty cash things in the past, so that, you know, by way of example, if the petty cash balance should be 100 and we find 98, $2 is immaterial. We'll still look at the controls over the procedures, and if there's something that happens to be structurally deficient in the internal control structure over those procedures, we will comment on those and we'll evaluate them a little bit further. We haven't had anything along those lines in the past, though. We, on a test basis, audit evidence supporting the amounts and disclosures in the financial statement. We're not looking at every single transaction that gives rise to a disbursement. As we know, that's the internal claims auditor's role. We use materiality according to the standards when we're both planning and performing the audit. And we're not going to give an opinion about the effectiveness of the district's internal control structure. We do evaluate it, as I said. We do comment on it and bring it to your attention in either a management letter or a report on significant deficiencies or material weaknesses.
So if I had to just get it in my head straight, your audit as compared to the audit that we had with the state this year, How does it differ? I mean,
okay.
They're more process-driven based on our internal processes and our internal controls. And I know different organizations you're working, but...
Right. So they are mandatorily required on a cyclical basis to, from a risk assessment standpoint, understand the controls that the school district has. And then, because they're here to perform a service for the state, find a particular area, even though you may not have a high risk assessment area, that they will look at and report on whether or not they have any suggestions on how to handle something differently. It has nothing to do with the numbers. It really is more procedural in nature. And if you were lacking a policy or if your procedures were contrary to what they thought you should have in place, they might comment on that.
That would be the same type of thing that you would comment on if you were auditing that same specific area.
Correct. So that's a good comment. So on the external audit, we're looking at all the controls to design our audit procedures. In looking at those controls, we might focus on different things from year to year. If we found something in those particular areas, we would be commenting to the Board of Education, okay, that we hadn't had anything in the previous year. On page 4, the district's responsibilities, I'm really not going to go through all of this, only to say, though, a few things. So even though we're looking at the internal controls and we may comment on those controls, if we feel that it's necessary, it's the district's responsibility to have that internal control structure in place, and they do have a very good internal control structure in place. It's the district's responsibility to have a system to detect and prevent fraud, and there is a system in place, okay? We apply the standards to make a determination as to whether or not there's a fraud risk, and then we design our audit procedures. Some of what we do is the interview of staff to get to that place, but, you know, that actual program that's in place is really the district's program. The district's responsible for making sure that they comply with laws and regulations. There's a lot of grant money that the district administers, and they do have a protocol in place, a system for communicating to the people who are handling the funds how it should be spent, and controls over the reporting of that information to New York State. The district, when we start the audit, we ask about any fraud or suspected fraud. We ask it of administration. We ask it of employees in the business office. We ask it in the food service operation. We want to know those things that we may need to look at from a risk assessment standpoint. And then at the conclusion of the audit, second bullet from the bottom, we ask for representations from the superintendent and the business official with respect to the information that was given to us in the audit. We want to make sure there's no scope limitation. And then on page 5, I've gone through some areas of audit emphasis. So it starts with really, as I said, risk assessment, testing the effectiveness of the existing controls, making a determination as to whether or not we need to include additional procedures for fraud consideration, reviewing a corrective action plan, there wouldn't be one for our audit because there were no findings last year. Reviewing any internal audit reports, so there was a report in October, I believe, looking at that report, understanding it, and seeing how it relates to the external financial statement audit. We're looking at testing significant account balances. Obviously, most of the dollars are spent on payroll and benefits, so that's a big area as far as risk assessment. Not that it's risky, but from the standpoint as far as the number of transactions and the complexity of the transactions, it's something that you want your auditor to look at, so it's something that we do look at. Okay. Receivables and revenue recognition. So the district, you know, they have a fairly sizable source of revenues from educating students outside the district and the Native American tuition. So we're looking at the calculation of the tuition rates, the billings to the districts and such, and whether or not the amounts are collectible. We look at the reserve activities. You have some authorized reserves by the Board of Education, which you're utilizing for the purpose for which they were set up. So we'll look at the authorization to utilize those, and we'll look at the account balances and see whether or not they will support whatever transactions we know to be taking place in the future. We look at substantive test of expenditures. Are they posted to the correct account code? Do they make sense? With respect to capital project expenditures, we're going to look at some of the expenses that have been paid. Is there supporting documentation to demonstrate that the work was performed? The district uses an outside capital asset company to track their inventory, so we're going to reconcile whatever assets were purchased through either the equipment code or the capital project fund, trace those out into the district buildings for existence, and then make sure that they're included in that third-party fixed asset record or capital asset record. There are long-term liabilities that are shown on that GASB 34 or accrual basis financial statement. The board might remember we have bonds payable, you have other post-employment benefits, you have compensated absences. Those amounts that aren't provided for in the next year's budget, but those amounts that need to get paid out over the long term. So there are third parties that provide this information as far as OPEB liability, any financing debt, and the pension liability for the two retirement systems. And then the business office keeps a schedule of time that's been earned by employees, and it's quantified by whatever salaries are in place at the time that the time is earned. We're looking at the accrual basis financial statement, so the district keeps their books on the modified accrual basis, and just, you know, short, they don't record capital assets, okay? They don't record long-term liabilities. They'll only record those things at the time that the expenditure is incurred. And then we have to reconcile those numbers, or the business office reconciles those numbers to those to the accrual basis financial statement, which has capital assets and long-term liabilities. So we're looking at that reconciliation to make sure that it's proper. Because of the single audit, we'll look at the compliance. And then we're going to look at the extra classroom activity procedures and internal controls. And the other thing that I didn't put on the list, but that we're going to look at, is the school lunch fund as far as the operational results for the year. So at the top of page 6, I've identified the team. And so the team is the team that's been in place for the last year. So there's an audit manager who's been with me for 30-plus years, Colette Bennett. She's the one who supports me primarily with respect to this engagement. And then to assist her, I have an audit senior who's been with me for about 15 years, a CPA, Samantha Castano. Okay. And she's out on maternity leave right now, but she will be back in 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. So timetable. So the district was good enough to let us start this week, okay? And so my staff are here starting the work. We interviewed district personnel. These are some of the things that we do during the first phase of the audit. We're looking at the operations, the procedures, and internal controls, what's different from last year. We actually document through a narrative what people do, see whether or not there's a control structure in place based upon the procedures that are performed, and perform what's known as a walkthrough. So if someone tells us they process a purchase order in a certain way, we have to go through and process that same purchase order to make sure we would come to the same conclusion. That's a walkthrough. And then depending upon what sample of transactions we're going to test, we'll pull out of the total population a representative sample to get comfortable with the fact that that's the way every purchase order is executed, just for an example. We look at the board minutes, audit committee meeting minutes, talk to and review, as I said before, the internal audit reports.
When you see the board minutes and the audit committee minutes, is it effectively you see that purchase order to confirm that that contract was approved and signed? Is that the...
Correct. Yes. So those are some of the things that we do. And so especially at the reorganization meeting, you approve a number of things. We're tracing those back to the actual contracts and documentation. Mm-hmm. Any other reports? So if the OSC releases a report, we'll look at that, and we'll see whether or not there's any kind of external financial statement implications to that and design procedures to address that. I mentioned before about compliance with laws and regulations, and we do some preliminary analytical review, look at the current transactions versus the budget, and look at the current transactions versus last year's budget, just to benchmark where the district is from a financial statement standpoint and identify the high-risk areas. So the high-risk area for this year is payroll. We already started testing a number of transactions, so it's payroll and benefits, and extra classroom is
Why is that a high-risk area?
Because of the volume of transactions and the complexity of the transactions and the way that the timing of the transactions takes place.
So it's not a high-risk to us per se. It is a high-risk potential, and that's one of the categories.
Correct. So it's not a high-risk because of something that's deficient in the internal control structure. Mm-hmm. It's high-risk because it's a large number on the financial statement, and it's a big internal control structure that has to be evaluated. And there's lots of people that are involved in the transaction. So we actually look at this every second year because it is so large, in addition to some other order procedures that we perform. We'll come back the week of July 31st. I really appreciate Carol having the books and records closed so early. She's the first district that we're going to visit out of probably 60-somewhat districts. So I know it's hard to close your books so early. We appreciate it. And that makes it so that you'll get information when it's fairly fresh. We'll do the substantive order procedures. Carol assists with drafting the financial statements and applying whatever financial statement disclosures are required. I will come back to the Board of Education by October the latest with the financial statement reports as in years past and draft, and we'll discuss them. And then if they meet with your approval, we can electronically submit them to the State Education Department and the Office of the State Controller. So that's the process. There are three new standards, two that apply to this year. GASB, so this is the Government Accounting Standards Board, is one of the standards that we're setting bodies that we need to follow. One has to do with tax abatement disclosures, and to the extent that you get pilot money, we have to disclose what the actual agreement was between the taxing entity and the actual party that pays property taxes, because there's a loss in property taxes once you enter into an agreement for a pilot situation.
Do we have any pilot situations?
Nope. So I don't think you did, but just in case there was anything new that was on the horizon. So 77...
That's like payment in lieu of taxes for corporations that are moving in.
You corporations, sometimes a number of different entities, right? Okay. Incentives to do business, incentive riches.
Yep.
Okay. Fortunately, you don't have that. GASB 82 has to do... You might remember that 2 years back, we had GASB 68, and we have this asset and liability for your share of your asset for the teacher's retirement system and your liability. It's just a reporting for the employer's retirement system. So there's a definition of how do you base the contribution. It's changed from the previous year, so we'll be updating the numbers that were on the prior 2 years' financial statements. It's on a schedule. You might remember the schedules at the back. It shows over the last 10 years what did you pay to the systems and what was your covered payroll.
But this doesn't impact the change in the reg or the way it has to be reported doesn't impact
how you pay.
No. Unfortunately,
it has no impact on what the rate will be, and it has no impact on what you're going to pay.
Or fortunately, depending on which way it goes.
Unfortunately, because if the teacher's retirement system was really doing that well, you would expect a more significant reduction in the rate.
Right.
But unfortunately, we don't see that, okay?
No.
But that's a great question. So the one that will affect you will be for next year, fortunately, 17-18, and it has to do with OPEB. Same thing, financial reporting. OPEB had to do with medical insurance for retirees. And on the GASB 34 financial statement, there's a number, and it's a number that has to do with a buildup of an amortized amount of your unfunded actuarial accrued liability. We know that you're paying as you go along, but what the profession said is if you remember the GASB 34 financial statement, it has a total amount for bonds payable, it has a total amount for compensated absences, it has a total amount for whatever your long-term liability is. This was being amortized over 30 years, and GASB said, we want to be consistent with the way that we're treating our other long-term liabilities. So in 17-18, you're going to have that whole balance on your financial statement. It's an actuarial calculation. You know, it's a reporting item. It's $31 million. You know, you would see it in the disclosures.
What does it mean at the end? I mean, there's no cash reserve we have to put away for it.
No. There's no funding mechanism in place. You're providing for it in your budget.
So it basically takes an off-balance sheet arrangement.
That's correct. Off-balance sheet risk. Right. So this follows the, you know, the regular FASB standards.
More transparency.
Correct.
Really what the obligations
are. Total. Right. So for governments that were really are looking at, you know, giving out large health benefits, obviously not the school district, okay? Then someone would be able to see, you know what, you've got a $100 million burden to deal with at some point, and where's the money going to come from?
Like, you know, you compare and you say, wow, because we give these incentives at 90%, we're higher than others? Or?
You know, it's really hard because everyone has a different compensation agreement, so you kind of have to look at the whole. So you might ask for a smaller share on the health insurance, but the salaries might be less.
Mm.
And so, you know, when you negotiate at the table, you are looking at that.
So the salary portion would be the payment that we're obligated to make after retirement,
correct?
Percentage payment?
Correct.
I got it. Okay.
Yep. And that was my presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for the time. I really apologize.
Thank you. No problem.
Okay.
Okay, so back to the agenda.
I'm not sure what you said.
So back to the agenda.
I'm doing that on all my devices. It's kind of weird.
So we want to discuss, and I assume that's why the majority of you are here, what the district is obligated to do, what the board wants to do with regard to a third slot that has been opened to fill for resignation. So what I think we want to do tonight, there's questions or comments related to that. We'd like to hear them. 3 minute, you know, we generally work with a 3 minute limit on questions or comments. I've spoken with counsel to understand what our obligations are, what the rights are, and what's best. So what we will likely do is we'll have your questions, comments, if anybody's got any, listen to them. We will adjourn to executive session. We'll discuss the advice of counsel. We'll come back out. We will discuss as a board and come to a conclusion as to next steps. So if there are questions or comments, come up. We're recording. Please keep it to 3 minutes. We're not going to respond. We're going to take notes to the extent appropriate. Like I said, and we will discuss then separately when we come back out as a board. It'll be a board discussion. You're welcome to listen, but it'll be a discussion among the four of us. So are there any questions, comments? Anyone?
If there was
say your name, please.
Ray Strummer.
Okay.
If there was 3 seats open, how come there wasn't, we told to vote for 3?
Okay. So our board policies require 45 days notice for election and budget. The third seat was not opened until, 12 days before. So there was not an opportunity to go and say, now we're going to have 3 seats. The petitions were already due. You know, you might have had somebody say, I wasn't going to run with only 2 seats open and incumbents, but now that there's 3, I want to run. So it's not, there was no opportunity to do that.
Right.
Anybody else? Yes.
Erin Gillis, I'm concerned with the turnover of our board members, starting with my ex-son in the last 3 years. And I think the community is looking for, we want to hear more and we want to see more and learn more. We just don't want to find out these things. You know, it's very abruptly. I felt
when
I heard Annette left and when Kristen left and, of course, when Gary did. And Gary never said anything that went on executive except, Mom, I could live to be 100 and I'll never make it. And it's very upsetting. And I think my town feels the same way.
I can respond to that and say that consistency among boards is, I think, imperative to growth. So I agree that turnover, that resignations make it very difficult to have consistency. You know, I know that Gary moved, I know that Kristen moved, I don't want to comment any further, but your point is a good one, that turnover is difficult. Anybody else?
Yes.
Yes, actually, and that's part of what I want to say, Wendy Turkington. I think that when you're looking at the numbers, it might appear that the Democratic thing to do would be to go to the top one, but and I said to myself, really, I didn't have enough of 12 years of confrontation and conflict. I have to go up looking for more, but I also am very concerned with the turnover and the... You make a commitment when you run to be on the board for 3 years. And so my three children went through this school. I now see their friends who have married some of them and are due to bring their children here. And I run into the kids all over the place working and everything, and they're amazing kids. So I am going to stick my neck out and make a recommendation that would go against the Democratic. First of all, this is, you have the additional burden and privilege when you're a board member of dealing with children and your own and their friends, and it gets really complicated. And it's the most important job that I think you can do, is signing up to work and be a servant for your neighbors on the school board, and to not take that commitment seriously enough to last 3 years. Yeah, it's extremely disappointing. And to make personal attacks is unconscionable when you're dealing with children. You just don't make it personal. Not on Facebook, not anywhere. Do you make it personal against any of the other board members, any other community members? And you don't make it personal by running with an axe to grind and a head to chop. That's not what you should be running for. And when you get on the board, you realize this is difficult. You want it to be black and white. It looks so black and white when you're sitting out here. And then you get on the board, and it's so gray. And you come to understand the obligations, as I said, the burden of doing the right thing for everyone. So I think, and would recommend, when I was on the board and would look out here and see who came to every board meeting, who came to every single walkthrough when we were doing a bond, and asked astute questions, listened. As somebody recently said, they wish there were a little less drama in the, in this case, school. I also think we need that. And whenever, last year and this year when he ran and he spoke, everybody, I never heard a bad word about Marcus Babsian. I think he's calm. I don't know of any axe to grind that he comes to the board with. And I think for stability that we need, and a clear, unbiased viewpoint, I really strongly recommend the board appoints Marcus.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Holly Strell, what are our options as far as the next person?
So we're going to talk about that next. Like I said, I had the benefit of speaking to council at length, both before the election, to determine if what the proper course was, and then after the election to kind of work through what the right answer is. Because it's advice of counsel, we need to discuss that in exec. And I will come out afterwards and explain exactly what that is after we've had that opportunity to discuss. Yes.
Brian Kennedy, I'd like to kind of back that, and you know, and I don't know the rules, but you know, I would say when Marcus ran, I was pretty excited because I've seen him at board meetings with me. And last month I haven't been around because I've been coaching, but I know he's always around. He's part of curriculum advisory committee. His heart is into this place, and I think that's what you need. I think you're 100% right. In a lot of ways, you say that 100% accurately. I think what you guys got sitting in front of you, you guys do the best you can as well, and you're into it. If there's a way to, if he is that third runner-up, if there's a way to make it happen, I think this community would benefit greatly from his dedication, and you're 100% right, he comes in with just a calm demeanor.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Heather McGill. I just have a question. With respect to the purpose of the executive session, is that to discuss what the options are that are available to the Board of Education, or what Council has advised the Board of Education they believe should be selected from the options set forth in the Board's policy?
The purpose of executive session is to discuss the guidance from Council with regard to our actions in relation to the options. So the options are, and I say what the options are, it's options in the law, the options are hold a separate election or appoint somebody. Those are the two options that are there. There is legal guidance with regard to those options, and that's what I need to share based on discussions with Council.
If you held a separate election, how long would that take? What if they tell you?
So to hold an election, as we discussed, we need that 45 days notice. And we go through the standard process that we do with regard to notice and publication, et cetera.
Josh, how much does that cost to do a separate election?
So separate election costs approximately, without publication, costs about $10,000.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? This is going to be the comment period. So once we come back, we're going to speak as a board, and there won't be another period to comment or question on this. So I urge you to raise them now.
Are you going to come back with a decision on your...
We're going to come back and discuss it.
Discuss.
So I'm going to explain to the board
what the
advice of Council is with regard to the options. We will discuss that advice. We will come back and discuss as a board in public the feelings of the board with regard to option A or option B, positives and negatives of those options, and come to what we hope is come to a conclusion. We've got four members, so we may not come to a conclusion tonight, but the hope is that we come to a conclusion.
With respect to which option you're selecting?
With respect to a path forward, I don't know. We haven't had the conversation yet.
Kristen Spivak, so you're not deciding in person this evening, though, who it will be? You're just deciding?
We haven't had the conversation yet. I don't know.
So you may decide that.
We may. We very well might. I don't know. What I need to go and talk about the positives and negatives and come back and decide. You're welcome to sit here all night with us as we go back through it. There will be a discussion on positives and negatives and thoughts on which way we should go. And our goal is to figure out what's best for the district. To move forward. How do we grow? How do we move forward? The slot is a one-year slot that's open. So we need to kind of think about that and think about what's best and talk about it. But we need to talk about the advice of Council first.
Dawn Lang. I know it's going to be you, her, Daryl, and Lori. Robin.
Right, that are going to be doing the discussion, right?
Yes.
Okay,
the decision.
Yes.
So we elected you four. We have to trust you guys, and I think that's what we all have to do. Instead of demanding, we have to have faith in you guys, and I always have faith in people, and I do. I have faith in you four that you guys will make the right decision, and, you know, I'm just grateful that you all do this, and because I know what you guys do, and I know what Wendy has done, and also, I'll agree with her. I do, Marcus, listening to him at the candidates, meet the candidates, I really did. I didn't know really where he stood on most things, but he just did it. But I trust you four, and just please, you know, just do what's right, and...
I urge you to stay and listen. Because you know what? There's so much that will then ultimately be said on Facebook one way or the other. I'd rather you hear it all here. It's all recorded. It will all be up. But stay and listen. I don't know, Marcus or George, do either of you have anything you want to say? Again, 3 minutes and we've got, but I give you the opportunity to say what you'd like one way or the other. Give me your thoughts, us your thoughts, and... then we're going to go and discuss. Take a minute and think about it if you want. I'm asking them, hold on.
No.
You know?
Can I think of a say words?
You go first, babe.
Yeah, this is kind of hard, obviously, and I guess for a lot of people, it probably wasn't the way we would like to see things turn out. And let me first acknowledge and thank the words of support here tonight and throughout the whole campaign, definitely. Also, I very much respect, first of all, Wendy's service on the board for many years, a lot of the decisions that she made on the board, her experience. And so it's a little hard for me to respectfully disagree with her. For me, I kind of see the problem with coming right off an election and the board making a decision which seems or could seem to go against what the community wants. And you know, I can see if we were in December, November, we hadn't just had an election. But it seems pretty clear what the community's voice is. And so I don't know if I need to say any more. I think.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Wendy. Everybody else, I appreciate that. And I ran because I wanted to be on the board. I committed to the community. And I think I can do a lot of good on the board. It doesn't feel like the right way to be on the board like this. If you're considering something like that, I would urge you to reconsider.
George?
I just think you have good options no matter which way you go. And when you sit and you listen to Marcus, you know that. You don't need me to tell you that. I think I have value to bring to the board as well. It's tough because you want to impact the children. And I ran for a reason, for that reason. And we put you guys up there, so we have to trust your decision, ultimately. Okay.
Thank you. Does anybody else have anything to say?
I'm just curious. What happened to Lori Ann along the way? She automatically, I know she had so many votes last night.
Not sure what you're asking.
Like someone said, fill the next spot. I see three people here, George, Marcus, and Lori Ann, or else I'm losing it entirely.
Do you want them to? I would assume you'll be in part of the discussion when we come back.
Yeah, I'll always be back.
Yes?
Maddie Alto. My only comment is it kind of seems that, I truly respect what you said.
Absolutely.
He's a very honorable person. But had we had three seats open, the community kind of already voted on what their preference sequence was. And it almost seems like that's the sequence that should be respected.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Don't realize that. Is Lori going to be a contender for one of the spots? Because if she isn't, I kind of think it's a little bit of a conflict of interest that she's involved in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, is she going to be a contender for one of the spots?
Right. If she does something, if she was one of the people who ran for a seat on the board, as did you.
If we have an open election, then we determine to have an election. It will be up to her as to whether or not she runs.
Right.
If the board decides to appoint someone,
right. She
will not be deciding to appoint herself and a vote because there would be a direct conflict of interest.
That's my concern, yeah.
Of course not, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Just to close it real quick, I think one of the coolest things about sitting in this room, and usually it's a lonely room, is that at least everyone is saying student first. And community first. And again, I'm fairly new here, so I'm kind of taking it all in and taking it in stride. But, when you want to move into a community, you want to hear people speak with that tone. You want to hear people speak about the students first, the community, the youth, and you want to hear that it evolves so that they do stay here. And, it's easy for us to sit here and say, do this, do that. I wouldn't have a clue what to do, to be honest with you. But You know, that's what you guys get paid the no bucks for. So, you know, and, you know, if we end up with three candidates and one of them end up and they are pro-student and all they want to do is do what's best for the community, then I think we're in good hands. You know, and that's how it's going to be a test. It's a one-year test, worst comes to worst. If not, you'll know next year.
Thank you. Motion to adjourn to executive session for purposes of discussing advice of counsel. Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
We'll be back. Motion to adjourn for executive session for purposes of resuming the regular meeting.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes, of course. Okay, so as I noted, two options. One option is two options that effectively need to get resolved within a 90-day period of time. So we have a vacancy. Option one is to hold a special meeting for which there is a special election for which there is a 45-day notice period under our policies. And option two is to appoint somebody to the vacant slot again within 90 days. So we discussed, as I said, you know, advice of counsel, and that's it. I just wanted to talk a bit amongst the board. And first, I want to thank everybody for kind of their comments. All members of the community who ran for the seats, certainly appreciate it. And I think it does lend to a community because, as Mr. Kennedy said, I really do feel that everybody's here for the kids, and that's what I think we try to remember in everything we do. So my thinking is, you know, I'll go first. And the special election is a tough one because, you know, costs are so tight. To spend $10,000, very difficult. So, you know, my initial thinking is that that's not the best idea. You know, so that leaves you with the appointment option. And, you know, as you look at it, that's a tough one too, because you have a lot of people that ran. I think you could have had different people run if they had known that there were three slots. You know, I know that there are instances where people say, well, and this is just my own thinking, but two incumbents are running, I'm happy with what they're doing, not going to run. Whereas if there were an open slot, you may have somebody totally different than the five that ran. Similarly, even if you didn't, if you had those same five people that ran and everybody had three votes, which you didn't, everybody had two votes, it might not have been that the third person or the fourth person or the fifth person or whatever it was organized that way. So, you know, I think it's very hard to say what the right answer is. I think part of the determination needs to be, well, here's how it played out, but did it really play out that way because of those two factors that I talked about, you know? Would that same group have run? Would different people have run for an empty seat? Or would people have voted differently if they knew they were voting for three? So my sense is, you know, in trying to figure out what the best thing to do is, what the fairest thing to do is to effectively say, I don't know if this has been done, hasn't been done when I was on the board. I don't know if it's been done. It's been done prior to it, but say to the people that ran, as well as anybody else, give us a letter. Tell us effectively what you want to do. If you effectively nominate yourself or tell us, you know, over the next year, here are the things that I think I can do great on the board. Here's why I want to be on the board. Here's the three things that I can do to move forward. And then I think from a board perspective, we take a shot and we look at that. And we think about it, and we take into account what the community said in the election. We take into account, you know, volunteering, participation. We take into account how we think that the board will function as a cohesive group with any one of those people who submit, and not just the people in the room, but anybody else in the community, and you know, evaluate that. I mean, that's my sense as to kind of how to make a careful, smart decision that is cost-effective. I don't know.
So how would you propose a time frame for that?
Time frame for... We got to do it within 90 days.
No, but I mean in terms of, you know, submission and evaluation.
I mean, my sense would be we're back together as a board not next week, the week after?
31st.
So I would say we post, we give people a week, week and a half to submit, and we discuss, you know, the thinking at that meeting. That's what I would think. What do you think, Robin?
I think this is too important to get to not step back and think about it a little bit. I've kind of had an interesting role here because I've been appointed twice. People stepped down, I was appointed. Somebody else stepped down, I was appointed. And so having the importance of a stable board, to me, I went to school here, and I can tell you who gave me my diploma, and I can tell you when this person left who came on, and I feel like we really need to take a second. Somebody resigned, then we just had the election, and I personally feel like we need to, as a group, as a community, just take a second, look at this, and really get this right, because whoever comes on, this is a huge commitment. This is, you know, like having been on here now for 2.5 years, this is a huge commitment, and I just personally feel like this is something that we need to look at, really think about it, and make the right choice. This is a horrible position to be in, and that really is the truth.
But what are you saying?
I think that, you know, people who want to be on, because I agree with you that other people may have run, but they didn't want to get run up against somebody, and if there was a third seat, somebody else may have said, hey, you know what, this is my time, there's an empty seat, and I want this seat, I want to get involved. And they didn't have that opportunity because we couldn't, because of the timing of this. So I feel like that would open it up to other people in the community that may say, hey, you know what, I didn't run, but here's my information, and I'm thinking about getting started, and, you know, then we sit and we look at it. I think that, you know, the idea of submitting is a very good one.
So you're saying an election?
No,
but there's no comment. This is a board discussion.
No, the idea of submitting, I'm interested in being appointed to that seat is a good one.
I guess to that point, then, you would also have the potential of maybe somebody stepping up who wouldn't have run against an incumbency.
Correct.
Because I think there's people out there who did not run against an incumbency.
Right. And I think that with the low numbers that we had, you know, that maybe that, you know, low voting numbers that people are wouldn't have run because they were happy with what's happening, and so maybe there are other people out there who would have run and may want to submit their letter, you know, an idea to be appointed, a letter to be appointed.
I'm abstaining from the entire process. I leave it in your capable hands. I'm happy with what I have done. My endeavor ends on June 30th.
So, all right. So I think that leaves us with, are we in agreement at this point for purposes of today that we're not going to vote to have a special election? We're not putting that off the table. I mean, you could have a situation where we get 100 and we can't make a decision, and we may say, fine, let's turn it into a special election. But given the cost, we're in agreement that that's not. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I mean, I think just given the time, we need to think, are we in agreement that we're going to ask for more information, or do we want to just look at the three other people that ran? Who ran?
I guess we're not.
Okay. All right, so the point is, we will say, anybody who's interested, who's otherwise able to sit on the board, Carol, what is that? It's... What are the criteria to be a board member? What is the criteria to be a board member?
18.
You have to be a resident for at least 1 year in the community. You have to be a U.S. citizen. You have to be over 18 years of age. You cannot have been, you cannot reside in the same household as any other member. You cannot be a current employee of the school district. If you are a convicted felon, your term has to have been served or your parole satisfied, and that's pretty much
okay.
About it.
So those are the criteria. What do we want in... I don't want 30-page, you know, resume and hear all the things I've done. I think we're best served by kind of understanding what the people can bring to, what the person or people could bring to the district, what their vision is over the next year. So, I mean, do we want to ask for like three or four
bullet points,
criteria, 2 pages max of why you want to be here, what you want to do, maybe what goals we've got and how you think we address them? Is that...
Sorry. No comments about right now?
No. Is that what we're thinking?
It's just another election.
Yeah, we're not...
You're creating another election. I'm sorry.
Rob?
This is... You had to meet the candidates tonight.
We've done everything.
We're having a discussion as a board. Just, I had a period of time where we had the options earlier.
I'm sorry.
Two options were...
I'm having a hard time.
I understand. And that's fair, but...
We weren't given this information to comment on.
It's not acceptable, Josh.
That's the concern.
That's why you're alienating the community.
When we asked you what our options were, you didn't tell us that this was an option for us to comment on. So
we
now
are.
We understand, and I apologize.
Thank you, Robin. What are your thoughts? Mm-hmm.
I don't think at this moment appointing somebody right now is the way to go. I think that we need to take a step, look at everything, and I think that if, again, they're...
Robin, they didn't do this.
We're having a discussion as a board. We will have a point where you can raise comments later. Thank you.
And I hear what you said, because that I was appointed. I was appointed twice. And I didn't run one time, and I was appointed. And I think that we need to take a step back and think about this, because again, this position is way too important. This position is too... I'm not in a place right this second to say this is what we're going to do. I'm just not. We have 90 days as a reason for that, and I think that we need to take a step, hear from the people who are interested, the people that ran, and then go from there.
That's my sense, too. If anybody would like to make a comment, you can feel free to come up. Again, 3 minutes. And you can make a comment on that. We'll take notes. You have comments. And I don't mean to shut you down, but we have to have an opportunity to talk.
You want me to go up there?
You can speak from there. Just say your name.
Okay. My name is Dormia Lanzetta. 5 minutes ago, we asked you what our options were. Mm-hmm. And you said you were going to discuss that in private, which I still don't understand. And then you're going to come back and you're going to discuss it amongst yourselves. But if you're asking us our opinion, I can't give you an opinion on something I don't know what I'm giving you an opinion on. If you told me 5 minutes ago, well, maybe we'll have another election, or maybe we'll appoint somebody, or maybe we'll do an essay writing contest in the community and see who's going to write me a letter now to tell me they're interested in becoming a board member, I would have sure as hell stood up and said, that's absurd. So now I'm giving you my opinion that my problem here is things are being done in executive council that I think are not always for the best interests of the community, and that was one of them. And that is my concern. I think that we had substantial people run for the seats on the board, and I think to go ahead now and ask people to write an essay on what they could bring to the board to fill the next seat is absurd. That's my opinion.
And I agree with her 100%, Erin Gillis. It makes you really look... I wouldn't even tell this at another school district what I'm sitting in here tonight.
Thank you. Gillian
Siglione. I think that Robin said something that was very important, which is this is an important decision to make. So I think that it's not a decision that 3 people or 4 people in our community need to make if we're going to add people into the mix. So I think that if we're going to allow other people to now write something, then we need to go to a special election, even if it's going to cost us $10,000. Or I think we're going to stick with the 3 candidates who were there, and you need to make a decision based on the information that you have prior to this.
Thank you. Wendy?
I have to agree with the 3 people. They ran. I know it may have been different with the third. The timing of this put the whole thing in a very awkward position. You're elected by the people of this community to make a decision. And we all know that nobody agrees with all the decisions made 100% of the time. So, and that it's tough to actually make those decisions when you know they might not be the popular one. But I think broadening it beyond the three who ran does kind of muddy the waters a little bit as to those were the people who chose to run. The years I was on...
But they chose to run when under different circumstances.
I understand. And the years that I was on, I believe that one of the reasons why it was harmonious was because we did run for empty seats. Like, it just turned out somebody did their service, they were thanked, and then, you know, there was a contest for the open seat. But it wasn't, you know, against an incumbent. And I think it did lead to, especially when you're running against neighbors and friends, you know, that it made it easier. But I'm a little confused about opening it up. I understand your thoughts. I understand taking a step back. All of those things, having been there and done that, I totally understand why you want to take a breath, really think about it, and consider it. And I think actually writing something to really focus in on what you want to do as a board member might not be bad. I just don't know about the opening it beyond the three. I think most people run, and it is only for a year. So now those people who were maybe interested this year, if it had been open, do have only a year to wait before another election.
Okay, Danielle
Dash. I think that as far as the whole process, this was an election. It doesn't matter. No one was running against anybody. It was, you were running for a specific seat. That's what it was. And as concerning Marcus and George, they both, I mean, I'm glad we have, you know, both of them as an option. But Marcus already said, you know, that he thinks it's fair as well. And this is what the community wants. It was an election. He came in third. You know, I think that you have to do what the community wants. It's not, I don't think it's that difficult. I don't think you need to write an essay. We had to meet the candidates. People were walking around talking about their points. Everybody knows where we all stand. So I don't understand the difficulty in making the decision that was put there in numbers as far as George came in third. We all have the same goals. We all have the best interests of the community. When we were running together, we were all running. We were not running with anybody specifically. I was sharing things with George, and I was sharing things with Marcus. And we all said at different points that if whoever gets on, please reach out to me and, you know, whatever you need. That's what this is about. It's not a competition as to, you know, what you think is best for the board. It's what you think is for the community and what they decided. So, that's
no, I understood. And I mean, I guess my point in saying the community didn't decide, and if there were three open seats and three people decided to run, I would agree with you completely. And people decided to run for those three seats, I would agree with you completely. There may be people, and I don't know whom, but they may not be here, that would have run had there been three open seats. They didn't have that opportunity. So,
but there was five and two. There was two seats that were available, and five people still ran.
No, understood. But there could have been, if there were three open seats, there could have been people that didn't run on Second Church. There could have been people that didn't run, that would have run if they knew that they would have been unopposed. And as I said earlier, there could have been people that said, I'm happy with the way the board's going, I'm not going to run, versus, wow, here's an opportunity for me to run without, you know, without opposing somebody. It could have been a different outcome. That's the point. So, in talking to council, we have the opportunity to appoint anybody. We're not restricted to that group. So the idea behind understanding, you know, who wants to be involved given the open seat, we thought was a better opportunity. I'm thinking is a better opportunity, a broader opportunity than just limiting it to three people. Do you see what I'm saying? Our my thinking is we're in a better situation, George.
So as one of the people, I guess, that would be expected to write on the letter, I find that to be absurd.
absolutely.
So you are making assumptions that had another seat been available, members of the community would want to run for it. There is no way for any of us to say that with any certainty.
Sure, I agree.
So if you're going to open up the seat again to be voted on or to be evaluated by the sitting members of the board who we elected to serve the community and not the board, then you should have an election. And they should be tasked with the same thing that the five of us were, and that were you were previously when you ran, and Mr. Ely was previously when they ran. Get out and talk to people. Have a meet the candidate night. We should not all of a sudden be putting new parameters on who fills the other seat, whether it's me, it's Marcus, or Lorianne comes back for another round. To now ask us to do something above and beyond what we've already done and what is normal for what has been done in this district, I think is absurd. Whether the community has spoken or not, you want to give them that opportunity to do it again, then have a special election. But don't all of a sudden add new parameters. And I'm not angry. I'm not angry. I want you to know that because I know I sound that way right now. Passionate man. And anybody who knows me will tell you that. So, I have heart. Wait a second. I get my 3 minutes. I have a hard time when we can't have open dialogues. I have a difficult time when people make general comments about axes to grind and other things that they think play into the politics and the people who decide to run for the board. I have issues with that. Be direct. Say what you want. You want Marcus? Say you want Marcus. You want me? Say you want me. You want to hold a special election so that you can validate your decision? You want more time so you can validate that you want Marcus, you want Lorianne, or you want me? Say it. But don't put new parameters on it.
So I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with the opposition to the new parameters. To say I want anybody or we want anybody, I have a problem with that, because the whole point of trying to get more information, okay? Because again, we're not limited in an appointment to three people, right? The point of trying to get more information is saying, can we make an intelligent decision about what's best for the district, what's best for the kids, based upon the people that are out there?
And I understand, and I appreciate you being forthright, but then have a special election. Don't sit up there and make
assumptions.
We're also
trying to manage the cost.
Of I understand.
$10,000 is three clubs, it's two sports.
I understand that completely. But you're not going to learn anything more in a letter that I write with four bullet points that you didn't learn sitting up on that auditorium stage.
Perhaps not about you. Agreed. And
then
I listened very carefully to what all three of you said.
Have a special election. Have another meet the candidate night. It's a one-year term. Or make a decision on who you want, one way or the other. But you're not going to learn anything new about me.
About you, you're right. But
so you could open it up to other candidates.
Yes. Then you
and have a special election. That's my
so
opinion.
I agree that we wouldn't learn anything new about the people that are here. I think that the Meet the Candidate was great. We learned a lot about everybody. The thought process is that there could have been others that would have been involved had this seat been open at that time. That's the thought. And to say to them, the same reason we couldn't change the election process so that we're voting for three.
100%.
So we couldn't do that, right? Because you other people could have thrown their hat in the ring if they knew that there was an extra spot. So you couldn't just say, now you're voting for three. Is my thinking in saying, well, wait a minute, if that was the reason behind not changing that election process, right? You need 45 days notice. Other people might have thrown their hat in the ring. Why wouldn't you go through that same thinking process in the appointment?
But have a special election. Because what Danielle said is bottom line is the truth. Nobody ran to run against you or to run against Lorianne. There were two seats available. They were running for the vacant seat. It happened to be that we were pitted against each other, right? Because it's a win or lose thing, even though that's absurd. Because in the end, who's going to win or lose? The children. It's not, it's not a game. And I said to Marcus before, after he spoke so eloquently, I won. I met this man. That's a good man sitting over there. I won already. And I wouldn't have known him otherwise. I wasn't running against Marcus. We had pleasant conversations. I talked to Danielle all the time. I'm not running against anybody because I have an axe to grind. I'm running because I want to benefit the children of Santa Riches, and I think I have something to offer. And if there's other people out there now who want to run for the vacant seat, then let's have a special election.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
Matty Alter again. I agree, because all this snaps up is disregarding what the community said and wanting to control who's on the board. And I understand that you'd like somebody who might easily agree with what you say, but diversity brings a diversity of ideas, and that's where the best brainstorming goes on. The community has spoken once. If you want to disregard what the community said about slot number 3, as much as it would annoy me to waste $10,000, but I would rather waste $10,000 than have you handpick who you think might agree most with you. Because although that might make for something smooth that you would like, you do need a diversity of ideas. And you can handpick who goes on the board all the time. It just, it's not fair.
I agree with you, Matt.
The only reason why any handpicking has gone on is because people haven't fulfilled their 3-year commitment. So that's one thing. The other thing is, Marcus, I spoke up for Marcus, not because he would easily agree, because he brings something. So let's not, see, this is where we need to not get personal. I agree that if that's the way the election was, I agree totally with that. But then we move to the personal, and I would just kindly ask to not do that.
I don't want to make personal comments. All I want to say is we did have an election. That's your interpretation.
Does anybody have any other comments? I get that we had an election. I understand. There's any other comments that people would like to add?
Yes. Why wasn't the district made aware that there was eventually going to be a third seat? Obviously, the third seat became vacant before the election. Why wasn't the community made aware of that?
Third seat, we had a resignation after the last board meeting, 12 or 13 days ago,
right,
before
so the
election.
Wasn't being aware of that. So they didn't go to the board meeting, we didn't know.
It was after the board meeting. There was a resignation.
Right.
Okay, so we're at the next board meeting now.
Right, so at no point did you think it was important to let the community know, just so you know.
So we went into public session at the end of the board. So after executive session, we came back into public session, and we accepted a resignation.
Okay.
And at that point, it was midnight, we then left. I spoke with counsel. We determined whether or not there were changes that could be made under the law and our policies to the election.
Okay.
As I said at the beginning, the answer was no. There's nothing you can do given the late date of the resignation. So we're now at this next meeting having this discussion.
I just think that, you know, when there are this many people at the last board meeting?
There's two people at every one of our meetings, maybe three,
okay,
for the last year.
So maybe other.
I would love if everybody came to the meeting. There's two. Marcus, sometimes one or two others.
Okay.
And there's a reason.
There is a reason, but we're not going to get personal. But I just think that maybe the community, it would have been beneficial for the community to know, by the way,
was
the
audio
last,
yeah. So it was posted on the website, and the audio of the meeting was posted on the website. I mean,
okay.
It was there.
I didn't know until recently that we had another seat that was going to be open.
Anybody else?
Yeah. What's the personal piece when you're speaking about students other than students? Period. I don't care what your thoughts are about whoever sits anywhere you sit in this room. It's our job to do the best we can for students. Whether I disagree with my student's teacher or not, happens. The students globally is our number one goal. So when we sit here, and I'm listening to language, I hear the word I a lot instead of we, you know, that, or are instead of, it's I instead of are, you know, and it sounds crazy, and it sounds like we're sitting here going around in circles, but that language is such a cultural shift that, you know, we're going to lose focus, and then it's going to turn personal, because once people leave here, social media does wonders. And half of it's non-evidential facts. We teach kids to read with evidence, but we don't speak with it. So, you know, I almost wonder, you know, at the end goal, you know, is the election. Like, I'm sitting here going, oh, this is pretty interesting. I'm forgetting people's names. You know, I think, you know, right now we have two candidates sitting in front of us. I'm not sure if Florianne is still in or not. I think she abstained at that point. Again, I don't know. That's another story. You know, but again, that's for her to decide that. So now you're really down to two candidates, you know, that are in. She may jump back in. The reality is it's an R. You know, I keep hearing.
But to be clear, I just want to be clear. If there is a special election, it's open to everyone. It's not limited to the three candidates.
Yeah, I know. It's just, it sucks for you guys to be in this position.
No, I just want to be clear on that. If there is a special election, it's
totally
open.
Honest, like, yeah. This is not a fun position. You know, and we consider and was focused on a lot of things, but at the same token, it has to be, end result has to be who's going to do the best for kids, and I'm sure everyone's going to do the best for kids because they put you in this room. So to lose focus on a lot of it, I would hope that, you know, when I'm at the next few board meetings, I see everybody here again. Because then everything's transparent. You know, and when we look and we hear, a lot of times you hear in many communities, boards aren't transparent. I've lived in a few communities, same conversation, same line. But the transparency has to be here. If you pull it up online, you're never going to know. I ask these guys all the time, can you print that for me? I don't know what you're saying. The transparency happens here. 12 days, special elections, totally get it. You can't make it appear out of thin air, so we have to accept that too. And, you know, whoever's going to do it, they're going to do great. Whatever decision happens, it happens. You know, I think we just kind of got to bear it in this year and then figure it out for next year instead of walking out of this room as a disjointed community because it's going to go nowhere. Just 2 cents. Sorry.
I have a comment. I'm going to speak a little bit slowly because I'm used to speaking in public. I tend to stutter a little bit, but I feel like if someone wants to really run for the board, they'll step up. It doesn't matter who's on the board already, who they're opposing. If they feel like they have something to offer to the district, they say, you know what, it's my turn to do something about this. If they want something to the district, they should be strong to do that. If they didn't do it already, they missed their opportunity for this year. Wait till next year. Also, if they were thinking that, just using a little bit of math, there were 2 spots available and 5 candidates. So anybody running right now had a 40% chance of winning a spot at that point before the election. Now there's only 1 more spot available, and it's only a 33% chance. So you have actually less chance now to get it. If you were actually going to throw your hat in the ring now, you'd be 1 out of 4. 1 spot for 4 people, or 5, or 6. So you have a 25% chance of getting that. Simple math, right? Also, the reason there is a spot is because people have been having to resign due to frustration, moving out of the district, or undue pressure from other people within the district. I think that's got to stop. If that didn't happen in the first place, we wouldn't be where we are right now discussing this. We'd be discussing issues for the children rather than discussing parental issues.
Right.
Adults have a problem, children have problems. Which are all our children's problems in schools. There's a lot going on here. It's got to be resolved somehow. It might be a change of leadership that we're going to change about.
What is the problem?
Do you think?
The one thing I want to say is that before when you said, you know, like, you're just hearing this, we just heard what our lawyer said. We've just heard it ourselves, so I think we need time to digest as well. So I think that, you know, like you guys are digesting, we're digesting, and in the end, the decision that we make is going to be the decision that is going to affect the children of this district, the staff of this district, and it's not something that I personally take lightly, and I think that we need to take a step back. Nothing has to be decided right now. Nothing is going to be decided right now, and I think that we need to take a step back and think a little bit, because this is too important to not get the right answer, or get an answer that we can get behind, you all can get behind. I think it's...
Robin, what is so hard to just read numbers? I'm what the public is saying. And I admire Marcus tremendously. I think he is the one gentleman here in the room that I really think he did a great job when he said Marcus, and I know how much you care.
Marcus.
So the last thing I want to do is make it more complicated, but it's something I'm going to try to sort out for myself. So because of the delay between the election and the reorganization, some other things come into play. And, obviously, you're under time pressure, right? First, you feel responsibility to make a decision. Second of all, the longer you wait, the shorter this window for 45 days to set up an election gets. But I'd be curious to hear if you've had any thoughts or if there has been any discussion, if any board member wants to say anything about would it be better to wait until the reorganization. So Lorianne accused herself, so now you're down to three members. Can you do a better job with another member? Is it better to make a decision amongst the board members that will be going forward and serving the community? So I don't know if you've thought about that, come to any conclusions, but I'm still trying to figure out what.
So is your question to wait until Danielle is on the board?
Yeah.
So we've got a new board to make a decision. I don't know on the dates how that plays out.
Within 90 days.
No.
No. But it's, if we then opted to have a separate special election, is the question, are we then 45 days, still within 45-day period from when? I understand the question. Let me take a look. Hold on.
Is there something with the board laws or rules where you can't go into a year with only four members on the board?
Yeah, it's 90 days. You have to make a decision from within 90 days. You have to have someone on within 90 days is what our council advised us.
George, you have to or you can run with four for the year?
Our lawyers advised us that The guidance is that within 90 days you are to have that slot filled, whether it's through an appointment or through a special election.
Is that what our board policy says?
I think it's governed by law. Board policy says when there is a vacancy, it can be done in one of these two ways, through the special election or an appointment. Let me just look at the math for a second.
45 days of taking to June 30th.
Take you to June 30th. Back, you're saying from the resignation? So you would be after. You would be after that date, the 90-day date.
So you've already made one decision. If you wait that long, your decision is you cannot have a special election.
If you wait that long, decisions that you can't. I mean, we can go back to them and discuss the ramifications of going to 95 days or 105 days, you know, what the implications of that are. The guidance was to have it done in 90 days. I don't know what the answer is on that one.
But there's the arithmetic side of it, and then there's sort of, you know, the question of what would be the right thing to do for the community.
Understood. It's a good point.
And you know, it's only a change of one person.
No,
we really couldn't go into it with only four people because if there were two and two, there's no way to break a tie.
Right, you have to
go with somebody else other than board members to break a tie. So there's a decision of whether to have, appoint somebody or have a special election among the board. So you go in there with an odd number. Just to ensure there's no deadlocks.
My sense is to make a decision. I understand your point, Marcus. My sense is to make a decision tonight for the reason that somebody said you make a decision and you move forward rather than having a swirling cloud of uncertainty, which I don't think is good for anybody, regardless of which way the decision goes. Meaning, do we, as I said at the beginning, do we take letters to understand and evaluate and come back at our next meeting and decide, or do we have an election, you know, do we go with a special election? That's my thinking is make a decision one way or the other tonight. Unless, I mean, you know, to Marcus's point, you know, is there an opportunity to have it be a longer period of time? But I didn't talk to council about that. You don't want to do something with a thought to you know, delay and then foreclose other options. So if we came back to that point, if we came back, Carol, on the next meeting,
31st had that guidance from a time perspective, we could still, from a time perspective, at that point, we can make the same decision we make today. Right? Let me just look. Let me do. yeah. What's the date? What's 90 days from May 3rd? That's the question. 90 days from May 3rd. 61. Is it July 31st?
Can you have a special meeting next week just for this? Or is that not allowed?
Do you call a special meeting? July 30th is 90 days from... That's July 30th? That's the date? Okay, so then if you backed up... So if you got to have it filled by July 30th, that's a Sunday, so you go to Friday, which is the 28th, and if you backed up 45 days from the 28th, when would you have to notice by? 28. 20 would be 48. So basically June 12th or 13th. So we would, at the next meeting, not be precluded from either option. Not be precluded from either option, and it would give us time to get advice to counsel. Do you think that's a smarter thing to do, to understand to Marcus's point about, you know, having a new board on?
Okay. I guess potentially. Danielle was elected, that would be fair to have her in the process, right?
I agree.
Okay. So that would allow us then, what's that first meeting in July?
You
got to hold it the first 10 days.
15? So
would you hold it the first day?
The first day is a Sunday, a Saturday. So it would probably be July 5th. Right? It would be July 5th. Is that the first? Does that then, if you made a 45-day decision then? Well, I guess we would know by the next meeting if that's possible or not.
Can I mention one more thing? I feel like the town's already spoken, community's spoken, right? They made their votes. They picked their top two that they wanted to be on the board. Any third vote would be, I would still that person, why not? You know, they made their first two picks, and George came out ahead. Even though it's one vote, it's one vote. For one person, he impacted. But she also has her experience on the board for a year, working with people. She's going through her board training. I guess it's through an administration. He works in a school on a regular basis. He knows what goes on in schools. He works with people within his district here. He's still with other students through coaching. And he said he knows this district. He knows people in the town. He has an experience that she hasn't had yet. So I feel like it's simple. He wins my vote, and that's it. Would you want you to appoint somebody? You could appoint him because you want. That's where I see it.
Okay, thank you. So, do we want to get advice of counsel and on the 90 days on waiting until Danielle's on the board to determine? Okay. All right, that's what we'll do.
One more thing. It just seems like you guys want to handpick somebody when the people are already voting. And this is for the people, right? But you want to handpick somebody, and I just don't feel it's right for the people. I mean, we voted.
So I hear you, and from my personal perspective, I understand what you're saying. From my personal perspective,
no, I'm sorry.
And that's fair. From my personal, and I just want to respond to that.
Go ahead.
It's not that. And I'm not going to speak for the board, I'm going to speak for me, right, as to my sole viewpoint. I personally don't care who is on the board as long as there are viewpoints expressed with a goal to move forward one way or the other. So personally, as I thought about this, and I thought about this meeting, and I had, in fairness, more opportunity to think because I had spoken to council, you know, you're saying the community has voted and made a decision. From my point of view and what I thought about was under different facts, under different circumstances. So, and we have different viewpoints, and that's okay. But I felt that, in fairness, it was given the new facts to allow the community to speak, to allow people that may have wanted to throw their hat in the ring, given the new facts, to speak. Right. So I personally felt that was the fairest, not to make a decision. And what other people are saying, I hear, which is, well, that's not the fairest. The fairest is, yes, you've got new facts. Yes, you've had a resignation. Yes, there's an extra seat. The fairest is to hold a special election. I hear that. There's also a cost benefit to that.
Should have, would have, could have.
So I get it. I understand what you're saying. I hope you. I'm making myself. You don't have to agree. Hope I'm making myself clear as to why I feel.
Totally, so. I do. You are clear.
Yeah.
This is a real struggle for me. Being the third vote candidate, it's difficult because I know Marcus somewhat now, right? So, and I know you guys are in a tough spot. And, you're going to be wrong no matter what you do in some segment of the community, right? That comes with the territory. Eventually, whatever you decide, somebody's going to be unhappy. I don't think a special election, just for clarity, is the proper way to go. I don't think that necessarily appointing a person is the proper way to go either. Because if that was the case, then when your term was up, you'd appoint the next person. You wouldn't open it up to the community for a vote like we did.
I don't know, I just restate that because I'm not clear on what you said.
I just think it's a challenge, Josh, for you to appoint somebody. I think it's a challenge.
But you said you don't think a special election, you don't think appointing.
So I don't.
What is it?
This is why it's tough for me.
Oh. I agree.
Because I feel like people voted, and the vote happened, and it said something. And that would be, in my mind, the most logical way to go. But it's difficult for me because I don't want to stand up here and ask for you to put me on the board, right? We're charged the board with representing us and doing what's best for the children in the community, and you have to fulfill that obligation the best way you know how. So, I just heard you say that people are saying special election is the right way to go, and if that was the message I gave, if it's going to be write a letter, then special election is the way to go, in my opinion. But I don't think writing a letter is the right way either. I think the community spoke. So I just wanted to get that out there.
Yeah, okay. I hear you. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yep.
If you wait 90 days, moving back to square one with four people, it would be a deadlock. You two would still be waiting to see which way you were going in July.
I don't understand the question.
If there's four people,
yes.
Wait for Danielle on the board. There's four of you.
Right.
And you're still trying to figure out whether it's Marcus or George. We could still have a deadlock, right?
If two people on the board, you're saying if two people on the board said we should have a special election and two people on the board said appoint, or if the board decided to appoint but couldn't agree on.
No, I'm just saying what you mentioned before, 90 days that you would do something and.
So we're obligated to fill the slot within 90 days. That's the 90-day point.
Okay, you fill the slot in 90. No, I think you were waiting for Danielle to get on the board, or else I missed.
We're obligated to fill the slot within 90 days. Marcus said,
and
hey.
And she'll only be on the board by then, right?
No, she will be on the board within 90 days, yes. Right?
And then we'd be four of you on the board at that point to fill the missing spot, right? Pick.
There would be four people on the board then to make a decision as to whether to have a special election or to appoint. And if the decision is to appoint, again, it's open. It's not to, we're not limited to appoint those three. It's who to appoint, right? I'm with you. So what's your? I'm not clear on what your point is.
She's saying the numbers wouldn't be odd. You don't have odd numbers.
Right. There's not odd numbers. And part of the decision as a board is when you have a deadlock, we can't agree to something.
That's all she's trying to say.
Yeah.
It's not an odd number.
You're right. If we have four people, we could each want different things and not come to a conclusion. Same way we are. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for that matter, Lori might not have decided to introduce herself, and we could still be in that position.
Sure. So yes, we could have a deadlock.
I really wish that you'd come to a decision tonight, seriously.
My preference is too, but I also, the point about having Danielle on the board,
She's been voted by the community,
right,
clearly, to be here, I think makes sense.
And I think George was too.
You're and Mark stated that earlier.
Yeah, Mark.
He stated earlier that he understands that George got the number of votes he got, and he asked you to strongly consider that when you make your decision.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're assuming that there's going to be more qualified candidates than the three exceptionally qualified candidates that also ran that are now going to put in four bullet points that's going to change the face of this community for a one-year position. These people went out, they spoke to the community, they put their money, they put their name, they put their reputation on the line, they spoke in public at the Meet the Candidates night, which is a tremendously difficult thing to do, and now we're going to let someone who thought they might want to run but they don't know to put four bullet points on a piece of paper and have equal consideration as the three of these people in the room? I don't think that's appropriate.
Or illegal.
Well, it's legal. Yes, it is legal.
And that comes from a person who was appointed and ran for a position. It's a lot easier to be appointed than it is to run for the position. You put your neck out there.
So, let me do this. Let me adjourn to executive session and call counsel. See if I can get them on phone. I don't know if I can. Try and understand. Because my preference is to come to a decision tonight. Because I think, again, the swirling controversy of what's going to happen. But let us at least have that one legal fact. Motion to adjourn to executive session. Short for confirmation. Counsel, second. Motion, second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
So we've consulted with counsel with regard to the 90-day. And the 90-day, based on advice of counsel, is a hard and fast. So while I think that personally Marcus's suggestion of waiting makes sense, doesn't work from a time perspective. Meaning that if we waited till Danielle was on the board to make a decision, we would be precluded from noticing and having a special election, which is problematic. Yeah, so it leaves us in a situation where I think we make a decision tonight, which is kind of where we were before as to what to do. After listening to what everybody said, I think the only thing that personally, and you know, I'm interested to see what the rest of you have to say, the only thing I think kind of leaves us where we're addressing what I addressed before, which is not everybody had an opportunity or would have had an opportunity to vote or to run. A. B, the three votes necessarily from a statistical perspective wouldn't have worked out that way. You could have gone A, B, C. From my perspective, after listening to what everybody said, thinking about it, talking to counsel, we hold a special election.
Agreed.
All right. So, do we have to vote on it? So, and what do we know when the timing would be? What's the time?
Well, 45 days, but
45 days before the election
before
date.
The election.
So what do you do? You set an election date?
I can't go in tomorrow and get a public notice together. It'll take a few days. It'll have to be approved by the attorney and all of that stuff.
Right.
So, and publication, the first publication that you could possibly do would be next Thursday in the one in advance and next Friday, but I'm not even sure that you could make that.
Do we have to, as a board, review and approve those publications?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Well,
so,
no, not the publication, the public notice.
We have to have my point is, do we have to have another board meeting to review the documentation for the special election?
The next board meeting is May 31st. I'm sure that you could have something to approve by May 31st.
Yes. Yeah, so, but and that's like what I'm trying to figure out is that's not too late.
So then May 31st.
So if you went out June 1st with whatever we approved.
Well,
45 days from June 1st gets you into like July 15th, 14th, 6th, 17th, whatever. And that's still within the 90 days, correct?
Yes.
And
June,
July, August. Okay. All right. I think that's the most reasonable option. I think it's the fairest option. I have to listen to what everybody has to say today.
You're going to have 15 hours.
15 hours? What are the options?
Hours.
I understand, but what are the options?
A special meeting, the minimum that it can be is 6 hours long, six consecutive hours, three of which have to be after 4 p.m.
So you have to do it like 1 to 7, is that your point, or 2 to 8, or 3 to 9?
2 to 8 you could do, but it has to be six consecutive hours.
Six consecutive hours, and the point of not having it from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. is that it's, or 9 p.m. that it's cheaper?
Yes.
How much cheaper?
So is there, I don't know, we have all the numbers now.
Well, yes.
Are there any other options besides that? I mean, is there any write-in option, mail-in option, or anything like that? So it is an election, a full election.
You still have your absentee ballots.
Yeah, sure.
But voting by machine.
So then, how does it work from a petition submission perspective for those that choose to run? They have to...
regular election, the petition is due 30 days before the vote.
So if on May 31st we come in, we review and approve the documents that have to get published, we would then set a date by which people had to have their petitions signed, petitions in.
Well,
that'll be in the whole thing. But I'm saying, I'm just thinking about from a time perspective. So it's after that day, 30 days before the vote is really what it has to be.
Right.
Okay.
Are we allowed to comment?
You can, sure.
Okay, so I just want to see if I get this straight. So instead of appointing somebody, the board thinks the most prudent thing to do is, and what they believe the people in this room and the people in the community wants, is to spend $10,000 on a special election when we just recently had one of the votes were tallied. Is that my understanding, that the board believes that the people in this room believe special election is the way to go, and maybe I misread it, maybe that is what people feel, and that's what the community will want at the cost of $10,000. That's what the board feels?
I feel that there's 30 people in the room. I don't know exactly what the community would want. In fairness, there's 30 people here, 20, I don't know how many, 20 people here. Some have said very clearly the only fair way is to have a special election. Some have said appoint number 3, when we think, I'm answering your question.
No, go ahead, Josh.
So when we think about the mathematical, the absolute fairest, okay, so there's 2 points, $10,000, $5,000, $8,000, whatever the number is on one side. When you say what is the absolute fairest thing to do, it is to have a special election.
$10,000.
That's the cost of it. Versus
a little over $800 a month. For a one-year term,
yep,
that's up for election next spring, the board feels that is the most prudent thing to do?
No, let me think about your question. I don't know what the board feels. You're asking me a specific question. I initially thought, as I expressed, that having a view of others. So I'm of the strong position that the group that ran was a group that ran under certain circumstances. And we may disagree, but let me explain.
I understand all that, John.
Yeah, so that's how I feel.
I get up early like everybody else. I don't want to be here till midnight rehashing and talking about the same things. The question really comes down to this. I'm assuming somebody on the board is going to make a motion for a special election once you finish hashing out the logistics of it with Pat.
Yeah.
Somebody on the board will make the motion that the most prudent thing to do is spend $10,000 on a special election. We just held an election yesterday and got results. And then somebody else will second it. Possibly. And then there will be a vote. And there's a very strong possibility that the board is going to determine that the best thing to do is to spend $10,000 on a special election. That's my question.
The next course of action will be to...
Well, is that a yes or a no? But can we start there?
I don't know how everybody's going to vote.
So you think that it's prudent?
I personally think, when you say prudent, is it prudent from a financial perspective? No, it's absolutely not.
Okay.
As I said before, that's 3 clubs, that's 2 sports, that's, whatever it might be. It's absolutely not prudent from a financial perspective. But
so
I see your hand. I got it. But there's so many different... Let me... You asked a question.
Yep.
I'm going to answer you. So there's so many different things that come into play that we consider, right? And is it prudent from a community's perspective to have...
to have swirling doubt for 2 weeks or a month? No, in my view. You asked me about my view. Is it prudent from a community's perspective to say, and I don't remember who said it, who are you to decide you should have a special election? I hear that. I hear that point. So we have to say, how do we move forward in a way where the community says, they put it to us to decide. How do we move forward with the goals for growth, with all of the things that we need to do between now and the end of the year, between the end of the year and the beginning of the year, to grow? From my perspective, you say, is it prudent not to spend the money, but to be able to say, we've made a decision, the decision is clear, we're putting it in the hands of the community as to what to do, who will have that seat?
So from my perspective, yeah, and in my opinion, and it's difficult to play this game, like I said, I'd rather people just were more direct, mm-hmm, came out and said what they wanted to say. But sitting here listening to this all night, my feeling is the board very much wants to go in a direction other than the third highest vote getter. And if that's their decision, then they should just make it and move on. But to spend $10,000 on a special election when we already had an election yesterday, which already told you who the third person was, because you're finding some resistance to the fact that people don't want you to sit there and appoint it, I think, again, it's just very irresponsible, and I'm going to leave it there.
Thank
and
you.
I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to be done.
Yes, Wendy.
I don't think I heard that. I don't know. I am sitting here a little confused in that I don't think I heard that we want to spend $10,000 on another election. I just don't think that's the message of the people here.
But
that's who you have to listen to, is who's here now. And speaking, if that's the flavor of the community. And also, with you are the duly elected representatives, and therefore allowed to appoint. You may not appoint somebody who everybody is happy with. We may disagree on the appointment, but you are absolutely the duly elected representatives of the people of this town who have empowered you to vote for them. So I personally would just like to say that I am not in favor of spending $10,000 on a special election.
Very well said.
And the discussion about the new, what they were going to do with the potential third seat was not even on the agenda for people to come out. Right. It's not even on here.
And they asked about that too, Danielle.
It's not even on here. So if you want the community to come here and represent now, they don't even have this in their hands more to look at.
I do respect if you want to wait 2 weeks to think about it, that you just learned. May I just say, I don't think you have to rush to anything immediately tonight. You did just, it would happen after the last meeting when somebody resigned, then Annette resigned, then now you are sitting here and just getting all this information. I will absolutely respect the fact that you want to wait 2 weeks. And I would also request that everybody does go on social media and argue it out there to come to this. I really would respectfully ask that too. But social media and people screaming should not dictate what you do. And if you need to stop and think and really talk this out more and give yourselves more time, absolutely would respect that as well.
No, I'm just going to say that the subject of the special election came up after you were talking about these bullet points of having people write things. It wasn't I didn't get that it was the consensus of the group that anyone wanted a special election. Right. It was only brought up after you started talking about the essay writing and that type of thing. That's when someone said
opening the process
up again.
Josh, can you hold a special board meeting next week for the community to be able to come out so that they're aware that this is on the table right now?
We have a meeting in 2 weeks. We can have the discussion.
But could you do it sooner so that then you have your options are open?
The options are still open in 2 weeks.
Okay.
So we'll put it on the agenda for discussion in 2 weeks, and We have a general discussion.
Have a packed room.
Yeah. All right, so we'll have another topic in 2 weeks as a general discussion topic. We'll come out and we'll hear from the community. Motion to adjourn to executive session for purposes of... Where's the numbers? Discussion regarding proposed pending or current litigation. Matters disclosure of which would warrant and would result in an unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. Motion.
Motion.
Second. All in favor? Yes. Motion.